I wonder what you think about when you hear the word education. I wonder what you think about when you hear the word school. I wonder what you think about when you hear the word homework. What is it that runs through your mind? What are the visions that you have? What's the thing that comes up immediately in your head when you hear one of those words? My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor United Methodist. And I'm excited today to continue in our vision of leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're talking about the five values and how we achieve that here at Palm Harbor. And we're gonna go through it together, and we're gonna go through these next 5 weeks together. But we're gonna communicate this one vision statement, and this is the vision statement for this church. We're gonna say it together. You ready? We are leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you said that with me. Are you ready? Say it again. We are leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, by saying that, I would think that you believe that in the depth of your soul. But the way we do that, the way that we communicate that here at Palm Harbor is through five different principles. And they are, I'm going to say this one together because we've already done it, open-hearted generosity. And the next one, what we're talking about this week, is excellence in Christian development. The next one we'll talk about next week is the continuous focus on the future. And the last two are commitment to missions, which kind of already announced this morning, some of the things we are doing and have doing. And then the final one, you might need some Holy Grounds coffee to get you ready for this. It's passionate participation. Say that with me. Passionate participation. You guys are going to get to know these fully in your heads and in your hearts over these next 5-6 weeks. But for me, when I heard the word education, when I heard the word school, when I heard the word homework, I remembered one song from 1976. We don't need no education. You remember it? It reminded me of wooden desks with carvings on them, of tight, ill-fitting new uniforms, of miserable teachers who never smiled. And every time I said something that was insubordinate, my English teacher would get his fingers like this and poke me in the chest. Mrs. Mitchell was also somebody who didn't like insubordination, and she would get a ruler, a wooden one, and smack you across your knuckles. I have poor memories of education. I know my sister here does down the front. What memories do you have about education, about what you know? What is it that comes up in your mind when you hear the word school? What do you hear when you hear homework? I asked some people, I interviewed some people, and asked them what they thought, what first came to their heads when they thought of these three words. From a high schooler, boring, dread, groan of anticipation of what the day is going to bring. From a woman who was in middle age, it was a parental demand. I had to go. Middle school nightmares. They're only 3 years of our lives. Middle school nightmares, she said. And a more positive one from a female high schooler. For me, it's a place where everyone cares about what you care about, what I want to be educated about. What about you? Where is it that you see excellence in Christian development? That's our topic this week. That's our value number two, excellence in Christian development. How have you seen that in your life? What is it that you know? What is it that you remember in the past years of your life. An example of excellence in Christian development is the privilege I have had over the last 7 years of watching a young man develop and be the epitome of these four words. This guy grew up in a Methodist church, and his pastor, Max, confirmed him one day in an old Methodist church. He put his hands on his head. He'd already educated him and told him that Jesus loves you and Jesus likes you. And he put his hands on his head and said, "You are going to be a great man one day. God's going to use you mightily." And for some reason, he thought that Jesus didn't like him. I think he knew that he loved him, but he don't think he really knew that Jesus liked him. And so he decided to go on the downward spiral of addiction to drugs and alcohol. And he started to waste away his life until, thankfully, his mother and father stepped in and sent him to the Tampa Bay Turning Point over in Tampa. So he come all the way down from his hometown of Pennsylvania down to Tampa. Now, in the Tampa Bay Turning Point, they do the 12-step program, and they re-educate the mind. They connect the neurons to better understanding who they are. They reform the mind to say, yes, you are worth something. You don't need to do this to your body or your mind anymore. And part of the program, if you are good and if you are observant to the codes that they have to make sure that you stay on track, no cell phones there kind of thing, so you're not getting out. On a Sunday, you could get out, and you could write your name on the board. If you've done well, so you put your name on the board, Keith, I want to go. And they take you to church. And they took them to my church, to Wellspring. And the 12 people would come in every Sunday, the ones who'd been good. And they'd come into the sun, and they'd sit in the same place every Sunday. Only 12 people, there's only 12 people can fit in the van. And they come to the church, and this guy, his mind would be realigned. His mind would be re-educated. In fact, his sponsor played in the worship band that was at the church, and he gave him a guitar and said, "Hey, learn these three chords. You got all the worship songs you ever need." And he learned to lead worship. He led worship in the band, and I liked him so much as his mind was changing. And even though he was covered in tattoos and his teeth were all messed up, I hired him to be my youth director. And then he fell in love with a girl at the Narcotics Anonymous meeting. He fell in love with this girl, and they went to meetings together. And this girl got so excited about also knowing who Jesus was and that he liked her that she became a member of the church. And she asked me to baptize her. So I baptized her in Tampa Bay over in Oldsmar. It was a great day. And then he told me that they finally want to get married. They want to get married, and they want to do it in the church. So I married them in October in 2017. It was a beautiful day with pastors and Narcotics Anonymous and AA and family and no alcohol at the wedding. It was glorious. And then he tells me, "I want to be a minister in the Methodist church." "Great, will you sponsor me?" "Sure." And so he goes to get his undergrad at Trinity College, not far from here. And when he's in Trinity College, his mind is realigned. His education, his neurons are set up differently. He realizes that he can do something with his brain, something different. And he graduates from Trinity College with a 4.0 GPA. And he becomes the first ever fully tattooed individually to be a valedictorian of Trinity College. Didn't stop there. He goes to Asbury Theological Seminary and is now enrolled, and his GPA there is 3.96. 3.96, and my professor, the dean of Asbury Seminary, who was here preaching not long ago, said that, "Who is this guy? Who is this guy here? He's got a brilliant, thank God that he doesn't fry his brain with drugs and alcohol anymore. He's got a brilliant mind. He's one of my best students." He never said that about me, of course. He's one of my best students. His mind had totally been rewired. His name is Tim Barton, and he stood here preaching to you not long ago, and he is an associate down in Dunedin Methodist Church. His mind, his what he knows in his head has been realigned. He knows that Jesus loves him, and he knows that Jesus likes him. He is the epitome of excellence in Christian development. And I have had the privilege of watching God work in his life in these different steps. Now he's got a baby. Now they're married with a house and all the other things that you do. What a joy to witness this development. What a joy to witness education working in this person's life. What a joy to see school being a positive thing in somebody's life. What a joy to see the observance of doing homework and it transforming his life. How did Jesus educate? I know you're all thinking about education because the children have gone back to school. We're back in, we're back out. We're not sure what we're doing with school, but we're in and the teachers are teaching and you're praying for your teachers, whether they're here or in public school, wherever they are. And we're thinking about education. How did Jesus educate? I often think of Jesus just standing up on the Mount of Olives and saying, blessed are the peacemakers. They will inherit the kingdom of God. And everybody got educated immediately. Blessed are those who love one. And everyone was educated. Blessed are those who suffer for my name's sake. Everybody was educated. That's not what happened, right? That's not what happened. Jesus spent time with individuals, individual groups. In fact, out of the 12 people, the 12 disciples that I had, one betrayed him. Only three were really close to him that he taught. Only three did he super educate, and the rest kind of learned off of them. And he looked at them straight in the face and said things. The scripture I'm going to read with you and to you today is in John chapter 21. It's the only account of when Jesus appears to the disciples on Lake Galilee after his resurrection. Jesus has been on the earth for 40 days, and he arrives in Galilee witnessing the seven disciples fishing on Lake Galilee. It's after the resurrection. They weren't sure what was going on. So Simon Peter goes, I'm going to go fishing. You want to come? And six other disciples went with him, and they were fishing all night, this particular night. They'd been throwing their net over the side, trying to get fish. All of a sudden, this guy appears on the lake, on the side of the Lake Galilee, and shouts to them, hey, throw your net on the starboard side of the boat. And they throw their net on the starboard side of the boat. Oh, God, a load of fish. And they're rejoicing. And finally, someone says to Simon Peter, hey, it's him, it's the rabbi, you see him? It's the rabbi. Like, no way. Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to shore and goes to see the rabbi. And Jesus is like, wait, go get the fish. We need the fish. We're going to have fish here together. There was 153 fish in the net. Some scholars say that this showed how many different types of fish were in the Sea of Galilee. Some say this was a metaphor for how many different types of people the gospel was going to appeal to. Whatever it was, Jesus said, bring them in. Bring them in and we will cook them up and have breakfast together. It was a teaching moment. All of the things, the way we really think is in here, right? The disciples were now being fed, literally. They were being fed and now they were happy. And so we get to this scripture, which is really important to see how Jesus educates. You're going to open your Bibles. You've got an old-fashioned Bible. We're in John chapter 21. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The story of Jesus in John. If you've got a tablet or pad, open it and go to your app. If you're online, open up with a tab and search John 21, verse 15. So Jesus has had breakfast. He's ate with them. He's sat with them. They've come in off the lake. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the one who jumped out of the boat and went to see him. Kind of the leader of the disciples. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. This is the first thing that Jesus says to Simon Peter. He says, do you love me? And he says, yeah, of course I do. He says, feed my lambs. Now, notice he didn't say sheep. And definitely in the New Living Translation, it's lambs. And definitely it means those who are young, those who are new to the faith. Feed my lambs. At Palm Harbor, we've been doing this for a long time, through our children's ministry and through our youth ministry, and indeed through the 3-4 different ministries that we have had going on here for the last 38 years. One of the first ministries that we have had to feed the lambs is our Robin's Nest program, set up for preschool back in 1983. Yeah, that's 30 years old. We've got 38 years old. We've got 144 students currently enrolled and 30 on the wait list to get in. It's a pinnacle in the community here in Palm Harbor. We have our Stars and Comets program, which started originally as mustard seeds way back 34 years ago, and we currently have 176 enrolled in that program. We care about the lambs of Palm Harbor, amen? We care about educating them. We have a Westlake Christian School that is 26 years old, now has 467 students enrolled, gone from 289 to 472 in 10 years. And our camp cover, been around 20 years, sees 510 children, K all the way up to 8th grade, here on our campus during the summer. And through these programs, through our children's ministry, through our youth ministry here, we teach them two things. We teach them that Jesus loves them, and we teach them that Jesus likes them. And I get the privilege on Monday and Tuesday of leading chapel for the Robin's Nest. And they're down here, and the 2-year-olds are dancing around. I'm dancing, and I get to tell them that Jesus loves them, and Jesus knows them. And they all do this. Jesus loves them, and Jesus likes them. And they follow along with the actions. And I get the privilege of doing that. I get to teach them and educate them early. I get to speak to children that might not come to church through our summer program when we meet on a Monday morning and we have chapel and we celebrate and we sing and we teach them that Jesus cares for each and every one of them. And in middle school, we really need to hear that, amen? Middle school seems to be so hard. At Westlake, we have chapels and I get to teach them about excellence, to train them, to educate them, to know God, to understand themselves, and transform their community for Christ. Feeding the lambs is important, amen? Lambs is not just for children between 0 to 18. Lambs, Jesus also meant those who have just understood the gospel and what the gospel means for them. So this is between 0 and 80, people who haven't understood it all their lives, and all of a sudden have. They've had a moment, and they realize that the gospel is for them. What are we setting up? What pathways and pipelines and places do we have for those who are brand new to the faith? What places do we have that can be easy on-ramps into our church life here at Palm Harbor? How can we get people connected? And there, some of the things we're going to be setting up over this next year. Easy places for people to engage. Easy places for lambs to connect with Jesus Christ so they can have a life-changing relationship. So that's the first thing he said. We're going to say it together. First thing Jesus said, he said, feed the lambs. Ready together? Feed the lambs. The next thing Jesus said in verse 16 is he asked the same question again. Maybe John didn't get it. Simon Peter didn't get it. He said, Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. So the first one was lambs. The second one was sheep. And he also said, take care of my sheep. Sheep are those who know that Jesus loves them and know that Jesus likes them. Sheep are those who are following Jesus in their everyday life, that have made a decision to follow Jesus, and they're following Jesus in their everyday life. He said, take care of my sheep. Jesus is the great shepherd. We are his sheep. Take care of them. So whatever's going on in people's lives mentally, whatever's going on in people's lives emotionally, whatever's going on in people's life, in our relationships within and amongst each other, parents, families, children, youth, whatever's going on physically, if we have ailments that are physically limiting us in our life, whatever's going on spiritually, care for people, Simon Peter. Care for people. And if you've been a recipient of care at Palm Harbor, we have a care ministry here for a long time here at Palm Harbor, way before I got here. They were called Stephen Ministers, and we are in the process of revamping our care ministry, and Pastor Kathy Hart is in charge of doing that. If you've been a recipient of care, you know that that feels so good. You know that when somebody's caring for you, it feels like actually Jesus is caring for himself. Maybe you've been cared for and you thought, now I want to care for other people. Now I know how good this feels. I want to care for others. And if you do, let us know. Let Pastor Kathy know. You either want to be cared for or if you want to be caring. You need care or you want to give care. Let us know. We would love to be there for you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Same question twice. Simon Peter, do you love me? Verse 18. No, it's not. It's verse 17. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything you know. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. This time, the third time, Simon Peter's a little upset that Jesus asked three times. For some reason, Jesus does things three times, 3 days, three times, three questions. And he said to him, you know everything. I don't know what his intonation was there. Where was the intonement in his voice? You know everything. Oh, you know everything. You know everything. I'm not sure where his intonation was there. I'm not sure what he was implying to Jesus. But I think he was a little aghast that Jesus asked him again. You know everything. But Simon Peter still said, I do. I love you. Jesus said in response, feed my sheep. As I've said, sheep are those who are following Jesus. Sheep are those who've decided to follow the great shepherd. And he said, feed the sheep. Now, he was feeding them there, but he didn't mean feed us, give them food, because us church people are really good at feeding ourselves, right? We don't need reminding of that. We can eat together. That's what we'll do after this, if I ever finish after 12 o'clock, right? You guys will eat. He didn't mean feed my sheep. He meant feed them sustenance. He meant give them something that they can live their life by. Teach them, Simon Peter, what the scrolls contain, what the Tanakh, the Old Testament, talks about. Teach them. Feed them something good. Wherever they are in their lives, meet them along the way. Whatever circumstances they're going through, whatever decade of life they're in, give them something to eat. Feed them. Show them more about how much I love them. Show them more about how much I like them. Do what my favorite professor said at Asbury. Find out all you can about yourself. Find out all you can about God, and then give all that you know about yourself to all that you know about God. Then you will know your love of life, the Lord Jesus. Teach them this, Simon Peter. Put them in groups where they can read the Bible together. Put them in financial peace groups. Put them in groups where they can learn more about themselves and more about me. Teach them. Feed them. And we have many groups here at the church that have met for years. And we'll be starting other groups whether they're in homes or whether in this location, where people can grow in their faith, where people can receive sustenance, where people can be fed. Feed my sheep, says Jesus. So the first one is feed my lambs. Say it with me. Feed my lambs. The next one is take care of my sheep. So say that together. Take care of my sheep. And then the final one is feed my sheep. They're the three ways Jesus wants us to educate our people. They're the three ways that Jesus wants us to do our homework. They're the three ways that Jesus wants to school us. He wants to school you in these ways. And this is how we achieve excellence in Christian development. He goes on to say in verse 18, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. What did Jesus say? Follow me. Now, these seven guys have been following Jesus for the last 3 years. They'd made a massive commitment and a turnaround from Judaism to following Jesus. It was a kind of a big thing. And Jesus still needed to remind them to follow Jesus. It's kind of a refresh. It's kind of a realignment of his neurons. It's kind of we need reminder of this constantly, amen? Jesus loves you. And Jesus likes you. We need to educate ourselves on this constantly. We need to educate those around us, the lambs. We need to educate on excellence. What do you think about when you hear the word excellence? Do you think perfect? Do you think the very best? Do you think expensive? Paul, the minister who went around Greece, went around all of the Mediterranean, in fact, setting up churches, wrote a letter to his friends in Philippi. That was one of his favorite churches. In fact, it was an encouraging letter that he wrote to them, and they passed it around all the different churches at the times. Here's what he said to the sheep. Here's what he said to his sheep, and indeed to Jesus' sheep. He said, you, dear brothers, this is an encouraging letter, and you, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure. Fix your thoughts on what is lovely and admirable, and think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, and everything you hear from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. He said, think about things that are excellent. And the Greek there for excellent is arete, which means something of virtue, something that has goodness, something that is wonderful. What is it in your life, in your education, that has virtue? What is it that has goodness? What do you remember that actually made you think of things that were wonderful? This is what we are looking for in our education. This is what we're looking for as disciples, as we lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do this through our teaching. We teach people that they are loved by Jesus, and we teach them that they are light, and we'll continue to do this here. Who are you in these places that Jesus talks about? Are you a lamb? Are you a new believer? Somebody that is a young person that is trying to understand this whole gospel thing? Are you somebody who's been a sheep for a long time that needs care? Are you somebody who's been a sheep that wants to care? Are you a sheep that really would like some sustenance? You'd really like some food. You'd really like something to feed you. Or maybe it's time for you to feed the sheep. Which one are you? Here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, we educate people about Jesus. We educate him about his ways and his paths. We educate him about the pipelines that people can be in. And we do this to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do this through excellence in Christian development. Are you with me? Are you with me? Gracious God, thank you so much for your son's words to Simon Peter. Thank you so much, Lord, for the example of how we should live our lives and how we should educate people. Thank you, Lord, for the joy and the virtues and goodness and the wonderful things that we have received to realign our neuron path. And we pray, Lord God, that we would be able to feed the sheep, that we'd be able to take care of the sheep better, we'd be able to feed the lambs better. You, God, our hearts and our minds as we do this. Speak to us, Lord, today. Speak to our minds that we might educate people to follow you. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said,